أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام را كتاب أنزلناه إليك لتخرج الناس من الظلمات إلى النور بإذن ربهم إلى صراط العزيز الحميد. The 14th chapter or surah of the Quran is Surah Ibrahim, a surah that is mentioned or named after a great Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ibrahim alayhi salam. The main theme of the surah is that of Tawheed, enforcing and cementing the aspect of oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why we find that it was revealed in Makkah, Makkah al-Mukarramah. Most of the surahs that were revealed in Makkah or prior to the Hijrah, you will find the theme of those surahs is that of Tawheed, Iman, Risalah, Prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You find the theme has to do with Qabr, Akhirah, all those aspects related to Iman, not rulings and laws and those aspects. Those were revealed in Madinah Munawwara. First is Iman. To build the Iman, develop the Iman, strengthen the Iman, then it becomes easy to follow the commandments and carry out the injunctions. So this surah was revealed prior to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's migration. There are a few ayat of the surah that were revealed after the migration as well. And it contains 72 verses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences the chapter by saying Alif Lam Ra. We have discussed these letters known as Al-Huruf Al-Muqatta'at, the disjointed letters. Kitabun, this is a book. Anzalnahu ilayk, we have revealed it to you. Anzalnahu ilayk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has attributed the book to himself. Allah says, Hada kitab, this is a book. Who has written the book? Who has authored the book? When you hear of a book, that's the first question that comes to your mind. And based on who the author is, you can determine the authenticity of the book. If he's a scholar, a sheikh, an author who is known to be a master in that field, then without any question, you will take the book and you will read it. So when you are told of a book, hada kitab, this is a book, who authored the book? Before asking the title of the book, you want to know who authored the book. Allah says, anzalna. We are the one who have sent it down. To who? Ilayk. To you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So by attributing the book to Allah, the book becomes great. The book becomes significant. It's no ordinary book. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you, O Muhammad, you have been chosen. Ilayka. You are the first addressee, the one to whom this great, magnificent book was revealed. Why was it revealed? The next question that comes to your mind, okay, I know who the author was, and I know who was given the responsibility of conveying the book, but why was the book revealed? Why was the book authored? What's the whole objective and the purpose of the book? Allah says, لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسِ, so that you may deliver all of mankind. Annas does not only refer to the community and the people in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It refers to all of mankind who will come and live the earth right up to the day of Qiyamah. So it has been revealed primarily so that you may take out all of mankind, mean al-dhulumat, al-dhulumat, from the different forms of darkness, ila nur, to the single light. Different forms of darkness. Darkness is of different forms and different layers of darkness. So shirk is a layer of darkness. Kufr is a layer of darkness. Nifaq, hypocrisy, is a layer of darkness. Then the evil deeds that people commit, these are also different forms of darkness and layers of darkness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the Quran takes people out of those different layers of darkness, ila nur, to the one single light. So you look at darkness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pluralized it. It comes in its plural form, bulumat, layers of darkness. So there are different forms and layers of darkness, but the light is one single light. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, min al-zulumati ila al-anwar. He said, ila nur, to the one single light, because Islam and deen is one single light. They are not more than one light, and that is the deen of Allah. بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ. But you do so with the permission of your Rabb. So there are some who will be delivered from darkness to light through the Qur'an. There are others who will not be moved by the message of the Qur'an, and who will not be removed from the darkness in which they are to the single light. That's why Allah says, بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ. The Qur'an has the power to do so only with the permission of Allah. So ultimately, hidayah does not lie in your hand, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hidayah is a power that has not been placed within the Qur'an without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hidayah is something that Allah azza wa jal is in control of. إِلَى صِرَاطٍ. So you, إِلَى صِرَاط, بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ, with the permission of their Rabb. إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. To the way and to the path of Al-Aziz, the Almighty, Al-Hamid, the praiseworthy. Who is the Almighty and the praiseworthy? Allah says, Allah. It is Allah. Allah, الَّذِي لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah, the one to whom belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. وَوَيْلٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wail. Wail, woe, destruction, and the most severest of punishments are for the disbelievers. Wail, wail is used to denote a very severe type of punishment, a very severe type of destruction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this expression time and again in the Quran. Allah says, وَوَيْلُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ, and wail unto the disbelievers, مِنْ عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ, from a severe punishment. Who are the kafirin? Those who have rejected the message and who have rejected the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that is the disease. The disease they have is the kufr. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the diagnosis of the disease. What has caused this disease? Why does this disease of kufr exist within them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the diagnosis. Allah says, الَّذِينَ يَسْتَحِبُّونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ. Their very first mistake and their very first error and blunder was they prefer the worldly life over akhirah. They know that there is akhirah, but they are not willing to lose the worldly life in exchange for akhirah. So they rather allow loss to come to their akhirah, right? But for something of this world. And we as Muslims also at times, you have that option in front of you. That look, there's this worldly gain, there is this worldly gain, but at the cost of my akhirah. We should always give preference to the gain of the akhirah, even if that gain of akhirah will result in some worldly loss. Sometimes it is a deal, a transaction, a monetary transaction that's presented before us. Very lucrative, very profitable, but this deal is structured in such a way that it will damage a person's akhirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is the core reason why they have rejected the Quran. They know, listen, we're going to have to embrace the Quran, we're going to have to embrace the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are going to gain big in the akhirah, but there are worldly losses. We are going to lose position, we are going to lose fame, we are going to perhaps lose certain worldly benefits and luxuries and comforts. So they were not prepared to give up their worldly lives in exchange for akhirah. Allah says that is the core reason. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَحِبُّونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. They are those who prefer the worldly life over the akhirah. وَيَصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. That's number one. Number two, and they prevent others from the way of Allah. If you will prevent anyone from the way of Allah, Allah will not allow you to walk that way. Sometimes people prevent others from salah. Don't go to the masjid. Why go to the masjid? Read your salah at home, man. No need to go to the masjid. Read your salah at home. Or they prevent others from carrying out the injunctions of Islam and carrying out the injunctions of Sharia. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the result, the direct result and consequence of that is Allah will not give you the tawfiq to do it. You will not be given the tawfiq to do what you are preventing and stopping others from doing. Allah says that's the second mistake and error of theirs. وَيَصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They prevent others from the way of Allah. وَيَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا. And what do? They try to look for crookedness in the way of Allah. They seek in the way of Allah. They seek and they search and they try and pick out certain crookedness or certain inaccuracies in the way of Allah. So every now and again an objection will come out about hijab, an objection will be raised, and they will try and taunt, for example, the hudud, the different punishments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instituted for certain crimes that are carried out in Islam, and they'll call it barbaric, and they'll call it this, and they'll call it inhumane. And every now and again you'll see that they will try and look for something through which or by which they may taunt the believers, and through which they may try and find some fault in the faultless way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So three things: they prefer the worldly life over the akhirah. Number two, they prevent others from the way of Allah, from treading the path of Allah azza wa jal. And number three, they will try and look for crookedness and inaccuracies in the way of Allah azza wa jal, that is the deen of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ بَعِيدٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those are the ones who are in a far away, distant, and far off misguidance and error. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding.